Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Welcome to the Featured Anime Podcast. I'm your host, Jack.
And I'm Rick.
And today we're talking about the movie Escaflowne, also known as Escaflowne, A Girl in Gaia. But before that, we were having a good time just talking about Boruto and Naruto in general. Shocking, I know. But we were just having a good time messing around, having fun, talking about a variety of other things. If you want to catch a part of that water conversation, patreon.com/featuredanimepodcast. $1 a month will get you access to that bonus content. Or if you want, you can hang out in our Discord. We usually send a little notice letting y'all know that we're live on YouTube streaming, and you can come hang out with us then. If you want to purchase the movie or any other anime swag that we usually talk about, you can check out our affiliate links in the show notes for you. You could also go to featuredanimepodcast.com. It'll take you to where you can go to contact us and submit episode requests and everything like that. I'll be happy to hear from you. And now on to the meat and brotatoes. Escaflowne, the movie, came out in June 2000. The producer for it is Atelier Musa. The studios for it are Bones and Sunrise. It's an original, and the genres for it are adventure, drama, fantasy, romance, sci-fi, isekai, and mecha. And it ran for about just over an hour and a half, under an hour 40, somewhere within the range, like hour 30 something minutes long.
Hour 37, I think.
Yep. Okay. So, Escaflowne. Now, Rick, obviously you weren't here, to talk about Escaflowne, because you know you had family things to take care of.
20 minutes late.
A lot longer than 20 minutes late, but you had family things to take care of, and you know, it's,
yeah,
that's always more important to me personally.
I appreciate that.
This honestly has entirely no bearing on the series at all. It is a completely rewrite of the original series that was done, like, I want to say 7 years prior.
Kind of want to say it was done better.
I would agree wholeheartedly. Yeah. So it hadn't even been 7 years. Honestly, the series came out in 96 and the movie came out 4 years later. Now the reason why I feel like the series was done better is because it was done by Bones and Sunrise, and both are known for great anime, and both, or Sunrise, if I remember correctly, also worked on the original.
Wait, hold on. You think the series was better than the movie?
No, I said, okay. I said Sunrise has worked on both. I don't think that the series was better.
Okay. No, it sounded like you flip flop. I thought, at least in my head.
Yeah, I got you. I may have fumbled my words, which is entirely possible. But no, Bones is known for honestly turning out a bunch of great anime, Full Metal Alchemist. So is Sunrise too, though, but, they've also done, Snow White with the Red Hair. They've done Full Metal Alchemist Brotherhood, if I remember correctly. My Hero Academia, Soul Eater,
good ones.
Mob Psycho 100. They've Bungo really Stray Dogs, Darker Than Black.
Kind of side note real quick. Speaking of Bones and what they've done, do you think,
Cowboy Bebop the movie?
Oh yeah, that was a good one.
Right?
Well, okay, so focusing on just Brotherhood and A Full Metal Alchemist, which one do you prefer?
What do you mean?
Like, which one do you think is better? Personally, I'll lead with what I think, just so you can get an idea. I can't give you a proper answer. I can't tell you which one's better or not, because they're not the same.
True.
And I don't necessarily mean they're not the same genre. It's just the way they hit are completely different, because the way things were done
So
it's just
I would honestly have to say that I find the movie of Escaflowne to be better than the series. Since that's what we're here to talk about today, not Full Metal Alchemist.
Okay, to be fair, you and I disagree. I liked the Full Metal Alchemist way better than Escaflowne, but fair enough.
Yeah, I wasn't talking about Full Metal Alchemist. I'm talking about Escaflowne. I'm talking about Escaflowne, the movie versus the series, which I find the movie to be better than the series.
Fair enough.
Yeah,
I do get sidetracked, as you and all know.
Yes, that's all right. We still love you. So the opening and the basics of Escaflowne have kind of changed. So you told me instead of her being transported in the world versus like how she was in the series, she's summoned to the world. Hitomi is actually very depressed. She only wants to sleep and fade away. Her misery then summons Falcon, who was a protagonist, but not the evil protagonist, the main baddie in the series. He was the main baddie in Escaflowne. He then summons her to the world Gaia, and the people of Gaia think that she's actually the wing goddess, who can call upon the legendary dragon armor, Escaflowne. And when on Gaia, Vaughn, he is already the king, and he is already the sole survivor of the White Dragon clan, and he is also in a very depressed, sad state, swearing an oath to get his revenge on the Black Dragon clan that obliterated Vaughn's kingdom. He lives by the sword, and now that the Wing Goddess has finally come to Gaia, the world's fate is basically in her hand. And Escaflowne will either lead the world to peace or to total ruin. And that's the basis and foundation for the movie. And it's vastly different from the series. Vastly different from the series. Series, it's like she's has a love interest on Earth. She's wanting to get there. Vaughn goes to Earth, ends up going back to Gaia with her, and they don't think that she's a person from the Mystic Moon. They don't think she's a goddess, I should say. But it also is in the series, people routinely are summoned and brought to that world. Whereas in the movie, it's not.
Correct. The thing that I found quite different, honestly, who survives? Like, that was, I mean, I even asked you prior to the show, I'm like, bro, did I miss something in integral about the series? I mean, we would have talked about it had I been there, but the show and the movie are so different. I almost feel it's disingenuous to call them the same name.
Well, it's the series is called The Vision of Escaflowne, and this one is called Escaflowne, A Girl in Gaia. So it's
okay. That's better.
They're only taking part of that name and running with it, and that's it.
Yeah, the only way I can really, no, not the only way, one of the ways that I can describe the difference for those of you who would be unfamiliar would be the Gundam series. You've got so many different Gundam titles that focus around different, it'd be the Fate Zero and the Fate Stay Night and the Fate, they all have the same characters, but it's a completely different story. So,
yeah, but what I wouldn't say that's a great comparison, because the Fate series in and of itself is really weird in how it's tied and commingled in and of itself anyways.
True. Well, so the reason I bring that one in is because the difference between the Fate series, the Fate shows, it's not just the story, it's the people. And the biggest difference would be animation style. In the movie, vastly more mature, vastly more. Everything seems more gritty and grimy, and in my opinion, more appropriate. Like, you're in a wartime, grit and dirt, and not everyone's clean. And then you've got all these other characters that are brought in that don't necessarily live up to the pure and angelic hype. And our main character decides that she can't kill herself today because she just couldn't do it. And her friend wants to come in and be like, what the hell is this? Don't write me this. And It's like, it's not finished. I can't give you that just yet. It's not ready yet. I'm like, damn, that's dark. And then she gets teleported away.
She was saying that beforehand, her friend even read it. And then her friend and her had this continuing conversation and everything like that. It's like, look, just don't do anything dumb or don't do anything without at least telling me first. No, give me the opportunity to actually talk to you first before you have it. And her friend even says, you know, I may join you. You know, so it takes a vastly darker turn, and it's a vastly darker anime, darker movie show versus the series. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But the way that they made her seem depressed in here was far more believable. And the reason being is they did a really good job at giving you a visual representation and a knowledgeable representation of exactly how depressed she was. In a very short interaction, you find out that she stopped going to school school sometimes. She stopped interacting in her groups. She withdrew completely. And the only interaction she's getting is somebody who just refuses to leave her alone. And it wasn't long drawn out. It wasn't 20, 30 minutes of it. It was short, concise, to the point. It's one of those showing you, not telling you things that I love in storytelling.
Yeah.
You understand far more than the words are conveying. And it is just very well done.
It is. It is greatly well done. And one of the other things, one of the other great things about this is it's no longer her being a fortune teller like it was in the series. And this one, she is like, she's a normal girl. She's going through her own depressed issues. She has her own problems and trying to figure everything out. And she doesn't know anything. And she's stumbling along. And I feel like her interactions with everyone were more authentic.
Absolutely. She wasn't the solver that she was. She wasn't the person people went to for advice. She was the one, like, if you were dropped into a world where you were unfamiliar, you were thrust upon this idea of being amazing, like her fear in the voice actors were phenomenal. The fear you could hear her when she was trapped in Escaflowne initially upon her transportation from one to another. She was covered in liquid. She couldn't breathe. She was panicking. And then she was expelled from Escaflowne onto Van. And the fear, relief, like everything came through really, really well.
Yes.
And the reason I know it came through really well is I really wasn't paying too much attention because I was like, oh, I've already seen this before. And then that happened, and I went, oh, no, I haven't. I need to pay attention to the movie. I need to actually focus, because the story is not bland. It's not a retelling. It is a retelling. It's just...
It's original. It's an original.
Yeah. It felt original. It didn't feel like it was a cookie cutter. It didn't feel like it was drawing from another story, you know?
Yeah.
This was in and of itself, and it was damn good.
Yeah, no, it was great, honestly. And the animation style was one of the things I had a problem with the series. The animation style here, far superior in my opinion. Vastly superior. The
bigger budget.
You could tell that the people actually cared more, I feel like, in the movie than they did in the series. Everyone was very uniquely drawn. They had the finer details. They actually made some of the beast people look like beast people and gave them better detail and just, it didn't feel like it was just like kind of thrown together.
Yeah. I mean, with the series, you could tell, I realize we're not supposed to talk about the series because we're human, but with the series, you could tell that they were on a time limit. Like, hey, you got to rip this episode out. So, okay, fine. Maybe leave out some of the detail here. The lion looked like a legit lion head, great, powerful, strong. And the reason I bring him up, his counterpart, not counterpart, but his, some of his underlings had different animals, but they were drawn with those particular characteristics. I think I saw a goat person in there who was very writhe or like lithe, thin, wiry almost.
Yeah, they took the care and details for every single person. And like the mole guy looked like a mole. The lion looked like a lion. Everyone was meant to look like a particular beast or animal. And they took the time to actually do it versus the series where they didn't do that. And so And I understand, yeah, we're supposed to be talking about the movie and not the series, but there is just so many vast differences in between the series and the movie. You can't help but compare them, especially if you've seen both of them.
Yeah. And it's just, it's like they grew up.
Yeah.
It's like now you're on, it was PG, rated PG. Now it's, you know, NC-17. You got, granted, not even rated R, but like it's grown up. It's matured into something that honestly, like, chef's kiss on this one. But in the storytelling, it was far more concise. And instead of, you know, good versus evil, you really couldn't tell who exactly was evil, because our winged princess, or winged goddess, if you will, was just a depressed teenage girl. And our bad guy acted like a depressed teenage girl. I mean, unfortunately, he was ruthlessly treated, apparently, to bring him to this everything must die scenario.
Well, the thing is,
that's the only explanation I can think of.
No, so he hated the world because he felt like, and I feel like they took a very good approach towards this, right? So you had Falcon in the series, Vaughn and Falcon were brothers. Well, in this, they're still brothers. However, instead of them going through a rite of fighting a dragon, they're chosen, the successor is actually chosen by a priest or a fortune teller.
A seer,
thank you. And so his brother, Falcon, was not chosen. Vaughn was chosen. And he feels, because he was the older brother, he had been around a lot longer, he feels like his birthright was stolen from him. And when it comes to royalty, yeah, I can 100% see that internal struggle, that internal turmoil happening, because, you know, hey, I was born first, I'm older, I'm here, I should be the one that becomes the next king. And instead, he was, you know, his birthright, as he views it, was ripped away.
See, and I kind of feel like it's not a crock. I feel like it is, but it's not. And here's why I say that. In this way, like, if they were born into our world, yeah, birthright is a thing. 100%. Everyone knows about it. However, in that world,
same thing for our world, though. We've also had, like, where rulers and people were ordained by a god or a priest or a seer and everything like that. So it's the same thing. And people totally, in our world and theirs, it's very close similarity into how things are or were.
Well, the reason why I say that I feel like it shouldn't be, like, his reaction was too much, was because in their world, in their tradition, the seer was the one to announce who would take over, you know, who the crown would go to. Now, perhaps he was alone for so long that it was just, hey, I'm the only one that's going to, you know what I mean?
Well, yeah,
he was a single child for long enough to get old enough to think that it was his by right, where I would see that. But the second child was born, and a boy nonetheless, I figured tradition would go, okay, well, we got to wait to see. I'm going to do my best to be worthy. And then maybe he fell short.
No, it doesn't matter. Even at that point, if you're born and you're there long enough and you don't agree with the ways of the world, and if you're like, well, it shouldn't matter because I've been here longer, you know, people in general are just going to be like, I don't agree with this. And then they're going to have a tantrum or a fit. And that's exactly what he did. He showed that he was the rightful heir, or tried showing that he was a rightful heir, by completely destroying his homeland and kingdom.
Yeah. Now, what I thought was interesting in the movie, somehow dragon people, or descendants of dragon, whom he was and whom Van is, and for some reason now, well, who's that crazy person who went on a rampage? What's his name?
Dillendow?
Dillendow, yeah. Somehow Dillendow is now like a branch family of theirs who has impure dragon blood.
Well, it's not somehow now. It's in general, this is how they wrote the story. That's the thing, right? This is not a direct comparison in between the two. And this isn't a direct correlation to the series. This movie is in its own right something very different.
Fair.
So
in this storytelling, Villandau is somehow, is a branch family, has polluted dragon blood, but is somehow able to get power from, what's the kid's name? Van's brother, the bad guy, Vulcan. From Vulcan, he's somehow able to get, bestow power upon others, psychic or otherwise. And I don't quite think they
I think they explained that's just that. A misunderstanding in the terminology that he was saying.
Okay.
When he said, I'm going to bestow upon you new power, it had to do with him bestowing upon him armor.
Oh, gotcha. That makes sense. I like that. I like that better than what I thought. I like that a lot better, actually. So somehow then the dragon people, the dragon clan, have psychic abilities, or they just learned magic, do you think? Like, anybody can learn magic.
I just think it's a magic unique to them, much like the wings that they have.
Okay. Well, what kind of threw me for a loop is when Van ended up saving the chick. I forget what her name. I'm so bad with names. I'm sorry. Hitomi. When he saves Hitomi by flying down to pick her up, his wings vanish like magic. So I was thinking, they don't actually have wings. It's just another form of magic.
Well, they grow out and then they dissipate. The feathers just fly everywhere when they happen.
Yeah, so that's why I was thinking it was like a magic spell of some kind.
Well, it's a magic spell that makes them grow wings, then they disappear. I mean, like, it's the same thing at the first one, though. The wings come out and then they come back.
I never really saw how that worked. I just assumed that the wings kind of retracted back into their body. Like, it was a part of their anatomy that they had to hide.
Right. Well, they never actually showed the wings disappearing or anything like that in the movie either. So you just see feathers disappear. They showed feathers dissipate, feathers everywhere, but they didn't show them disappearing.
Oh, I thought they might have. Anyway, that's just a super minor observation that I was thinking about. But the psychic abilities between the dragon kind, if you will, the dragon humanoids, off of the wall.
Yeah.
So like laser, just like awesomeness. I was like, that so underutilized. And how come Van doesn't know so much? How come Van doesn't know any?
No, he knew it. He knew it in the movie.
Well, not enough for me to be like,
you know, he's proficient. They utilized it, but they didn't utilize it in the way you were wanting.
Absolutely not. His brother had way more control, way more, I feel like, power.
Well, his brother was older and probably utilized more of it. Utilized more. Had more training.
Learned more.
Yeah.
Had more training. That makes sense. Which
would then feed into the, I should have been the king.
Fair. That would absolutely fall into that ego, the I'm worthy, you're not. I'm better than you. Yeah. Yeah, I can see that. That makes, I like how that's going. That makes a lot of sense. But yeah, it's just straight up. The fighting in there, the bloodshed, the realistic fighting. And what I mean by that is when you have an arm sliced, it gets sliced off. The only fighting I really, really didn't understand, the more I think about it, I watched it two or three times, were when Escaflowne shows up for the second time, and actually last time, and he fights off the other armor. And it seems like they were really slow.
Yeah.
I can't tell if it was on purpose or if it was to show that these great movements take inertia and time to move these massive bodies. So while it looks slow up close, boom, boom. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Well, I would assume that it's the latter, not the former.
Okay.
Because, you know, it is in terms of size, it's massive, so for us, yeah, it probably seems slow, but it is also meant to convey that these are not tiny things, and they are moving, and they're moving pretty fast in comparison.
Now, one of the things that, if I have to say anything negative, Van was very childish, very single-mindedly focused, and to the detriment, like, I think a protagonist shouldn't be so ignorant.
Well, and you know that's, I mean, one of the things that they pointed out to him, pointed out his flaws and his issues and everything like that. And but also at the exact same time, you have to remember, like, he literally lost everyone. Just, yeah. You know, his whole kingdom and everything like that by his brother because he's supposed to be king and his brother wasn't.
Now, I'm going to draw back to the voice acting. During what I consider to be the climax of the movie, when Van is running towards his brother and he shouts out, "Brother," you know?
Yeah.
The pain emanating from his brother when he says, it's been so long since I've heard those words directed at me. It was almost heartbreaking. I say almost because I've never been in a situation I can relate to that, but that just goes to show how well the voice acting was, because in that moment, even though I don't have anything I can connect to, damn.
Yeah. No, it was good. The voice acting was great. The artwork was honestly immaculate, in my personal humble opinion. The music for it was a lot better too for it. It was greatly done. I don't have like too many negative things I can honestly say about it. I do find the character growth and progression for him a little bit, and her, honestly, for both Van and Hitomi, both to be a little bit too hectic and spontaneous. It was a little bit of a breakneck speed. So that's something that I didn't care for. I didn't like it too much, but it is what it is, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. No, if anything, this is one of the few that I've come across that I wouldn't just recommend. Like, I would probably buy it and be like, "Hey, you should totally watch this and get back to me."
Yep. No, it's a great movie. It's well worth the time. It's well worth the watch. The music is great. The artwork is good. The story is pretty good. It's a lot better in terms of comparison. There weren't a bunch of mechs everywhere and everything like that. And how the mechs looked, interacted and everything, it made them feel like they were ancient machines, that they were very important, that they were integral for the world and everything like that. They didn't have this like all mystical, you know, world where the power of thought spontaneously brings everything into existence or this and that and blah, 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 blah. You know, it was like, I felt like this was very well done, and they paid homage to everyone in the series that was relevant or important.
Yeah, I can see that. Yeah.
With the exception of like the evil emperor. That's the only guy they didn't do.
I don't think the evil emperor would have been any in the series. The evil emperor really didn't do much other than give power to his brother, and his brother kind of was like, "This is what we're doing."
No. I'm talking about the series. The emperor didn't have a cameo in the movie.
I'm like, he didn't really show up.
He didn't show up at all in the movie. He wasn't there. Non-existent. Every other character was there. Just about.
Okay. At least every character from Gaia. The only one to show up from Earth was the team manager, her friend.
Yeah.
Yeah. It had a decent ending too, I feel like. It was appropriate. I don't rightly know everything, obviously, but I liked how Van was at the end.
Yeah.
It felt complete.
Yeah, it was good. It was a solid ending, that is for sure. Although it was a little open, like in terms of interpretation.
Oh, big time. Absolutely. It was supposed to be, I feel like. Mm-hmm. At the very least in this movie, one storyline has reached its conclusion.
Yes.
And that's the only storyline I really cared about in this movie.
All right. Yep. Works for me. I don't have anything else to really talk about, sir. How about you?
Yeah, no, I was about to say, I think I'm good.
All right. So on a scale of up to 10, sir, how would you rate this?
I'm giving this a solid 9. It would be a 10, except for those minor, minor things. But it's like the highest 9 I could give it without being a 10.
All right. I honestly got to agree with you on it. I give it a 9. It was a great movie. It's well worth time. It's well worth the watch. If you haven't seen it before, I definitely do recommend. In terms of the world building, the art for it, everything, honestly, is just so much better. So it's 9 for me, 9 for you. I think that's pretty passable.
Pretty passable, yeah.
All right, so next week's choice. It was your choice, and we are going to watch Tenchi Muyo War on Geminar, which is a series. That's all I got. I got nothing else beyond that for it. It's a series.
I'm going to throw a little bit of extra sauce on this. Tenchi Muyo was a series I grew up with.
This is a offshoot of the series that you grew up with. Correct. This came out many years later. That's why absolutely. I have nothing else to say on it. And that's why you, Rick, have nothing else to say on it today.
What I was you doing, have I got a nothing. Little bit. I got a little bit. I got a little bit. What you I was going to say was,
so thanks for hanging out with us, Tenchi
Muyo. And this one intrigued me, so I'd like to have you watch it too. Hopefully it'll get me to realize why I missed the other one.
Right. So that's all the time that we have for today. Thanks for hanging out with us. Hope you enjoyed this week's choice. If you feel like we got something right, something wrong, did it too much justice, not enough justice, or anything like that, feel free to let us know. All our contact information and everything like that is available to you in our show notes. If you want to, hang out with us, talk with us, or anything like that, we have our Discord, and we usually do let you know when we are going to go live on YouTube in there, so that way you can hang out with us while we're actually talking about the show that we're actually talking about. And if you want to buy yourself some swanky swag or the movie or anything like that, you can check out our affiliate links that we do have in the show notes. Purchasing something using those affiliate links is greatly appreciated. We do get a little bit of a kickback, or you can go to patreon.com/featuredanimepodcast. $1 a month will get you access to bonus content. And until next time, I'm Jack.
I'm Rick, and we'll see you next time.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend. Winning is an everyday mindset, and we're here to help. I'm Craig Robinson. Join me and Coach John Calipari for Ways to Win. We're kicking off during March Madness. Cal's Kentucky Wildcats are in the hunt. So throughout the tournament, I'm going to call up my friend to ask about his wins, losses, and especially what he's telling his players in the locker room.
You got to win every day.
Find the Ways to Win podcast anywhere you listen.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.